The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, one? You're not going to give up one Viagra for him getting...
Last week I gave a fire safety talk, and nobody paid any attention. But experience is the best teacher.
All right, Chewy, you may have to be on your own here because we've got a fight alarm going off.
Are you serious right now?
That's not great. Hope somebody turns that off.
What do I do in this event?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Fire!
Oh, fire. Oh, my goodness. What's the procedure? What do we do, people?
The phones are dead.
Oh, how did that happen?
We'll take a break. We'll try to come back. Oh, my God.
Maybe longer than we think.
Oh, my gosh.
We just got an evacuation order.
Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm.
Wait.
Everybody calm down.
All right, listen, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. To be determined whether we'll be here when we come back. Are you freaking kidding me right now?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants.
Did I see a 61 on the on the weather app this week? Did I see a 61 on today's weather for a high?
I don't think that that's what anybody's focusing on. I see a 52.
Ooh.
Today.
And then I see a 38. Uh-huh. And then I see a, oh no.
Yeah, how about you suck it, huh?
Yeah, what are you giggling about over there, Florida boy?
Well, we're in the middle of a cold front, so I can feel your pain.
What is a cold front in Florida?
68.
Oh, man. Break out the electric blanket.
I don't know whether I should wear a Roboc to the gym, Gabe, or should I just rough it and just go with a short sleeve shirt?
Oh, man. Decisions. I mean,
sun's out, guns out.
You don't want to be, you got to play it safe here, big guy, and you need to put the Roboc on.
But you know what sucks right now is because it's probably the equivalent of spring here now than it will be, and I have my allergies are terrible down here because the flowers are blooming. Am I going to get it twice?
You should.
I hope so. Rooting for it.
Should have seen Gabe's face light up. He looked like those baseball players in the Dodgers dugout right there. Yee, that would be wonderful. I'm seeing chance of precipitation and not the rain kind on Thursday. Is it Thursday or Friday?
Thursday night into Friday.
Ugh, 2 to 5 inches in our area?
Yeah. Great way to celebrate Marquette playing on Friday afternoon.
Isn't today
snow
or tomorrow the first day of spring?
I believe it's Thursday, yeah.
It's coming up. It's coming right up. Chew, when you're in Florida, you have some stories that you like to share with us. And one that you shared this week was that you were dining out recently, and you were disappointed that there was a companion, if you will, also dining out when you were. What happened, bud?
I have no idea.
Oh, geez, Louise.
You was this in the text chain?
Not only was it in the text chain, but you know that little meeting that we have before the show where we talk about the things that we're going to talk about on the show? I know I'm sort of pulling back the curtain here, Wizard of Oz style. But
so I went to dinner.
Over the weekend.
Okay, yes.
Now I got to find the text. Hold on.
I'm trying to figure out where I went to dinner.
If I said, who's a good boy? He's a good boy. Look at that good boy. Would you know
the
then?
The dogs. Yes.
Okay.
So just again, if we're going to peel back the curtain, let's go ahead and peel it all the way back.
Okay.
Because Jen sent a text saying, what are the Steelers doing? Josh said, improving their QB room for cheap and bleeping off Russ. Win-win. Chewy just drops in. Dogs should not be allowed in restaurants.
They shouldn't. It is the
hell
dumbest
of a segue,
thing.
Though, buddy. Hell of a segue.
It is the... I don't want... I Gabe, I know you just got a dog.
Yep.
Okay.
He's like, and I'm sure he's
lovely.
I'll
try and walk
her over
here.
She's very good.
I don't want your dog looking at me begging for food while I'm paying for a meal in a restaurant.
So was this outside? Was this on a patio?
It was on a patio. I don't care. I don't want other dogs walking by and having to listen to your dog bark at the other dogs going by. Now, people are going to say, well, go to a different place. I will now. I'm just saying, I think it's the dumbest thing ever.
But they're attracting that audience. They're attracting the,
They won't be around long.
Really?
Because I wasn't the only one annoyed. It must have been Dog Saturday or something. You know?
So they won't be around long, but the place was packed with people owning dogs. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I'm sure a dog pizzled there somewhere. That doesn't bother you if the barking of the dog at a table next to you or the begging of the food?
There's a thing that we've talked about on the radio for like dazzling detail. What type of restaurant am I in? Put me in a setting. I know I'm on a patio. Am I at a sports bar?
No.
Or am I at like... How much is an entree cost? What type of food?
What can I compare it to? It is between a Champs. It's between a Champs and, Jen, I know you've been here. What's the place on the lakefront? Seafood, blah, blah, blah.
Harbor House?
Yes.
Whoa.
That's between those two.
That's so large. Yeah. That's what? The biggest gap I could possibly think of, unless you said McDonald's.
Yeah, it's between those two.
Harbor House.
Okay?
You went from medium like sports bar to top end Milwaukee
fancy,
restaurant.
Fancy. Don't show up without a reservation. On the lakefront, we serve seafood.
All right, let's take it here. Would you have a problem if the Harbor House allowed dogs on the patio while you're eating?
Is it as nice as the Harbor House, this place that you're talking about?
It's closer to the Harbor House than it is to Champs.
Okay.
Well. Joshy, you had my back when it came up.
I did that pretty quietly.
Yes, that was quiet. No one could hear you. Jen was sneezing. If you're watching, you can see it, though. Yes, I think interior, now it's illegal in Wisconsin, I believe. Like, they don't allow it. If you're serving food, you're not allowed to have dogs inside.
Correct. But there are places that cater to dogs, aren't they? There's like a sandwich shop.
Oh, Riley's. Yeah. Riley's down in the Third Ward. But what they do there, because it's very much advertised as a dog place. Like, the logo is a dog. It's like a dog bar. And then to get your food, like, there's a little kiosk, you make your order, you have to go and you have to leave your dog and you have to go to a separate part of the building in order to pick up your food, because it's a sanitary thing.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have the pets and the pet hair
Which
and all that
fine.
Sort of thing.
I have no problem with that. But just because you have a dog, right, doesn't mean everyone likes dogs.
That's totally fair.
So let me ask you a question. Are you upset that they didn't advertise that they were dog friendly so that you could take your business elsewhere?
See, sometimes we go there at night because it's a fun crowd, live music, and I've never seen dogs there.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So maybe it is a lunch thing, and if that's the case, then maybe it's on me. Then I won't go there anymore.
I think I figured out the perfect way to do this. If you're going to eat at a place, even if it has an outside where you're putting the napkin on your lap, that's a place dogs shouldn't be, even if it's a patio.
But I put my napkin on my lap everywhere.
Well, he just...
Well, if it's a cloth
napkin. Even when you're
napkin.
Going to the if Rome it's of the
cloth
napkin.
Yeah, so cloth or... No.
I think cloth. Cloth is what I'm looking for.
I'm eating in my car. You know, one hand on the steering wheel, one hand on the dropper.
So, Gabe, I got another one. Dog arrogance. Throw that on the thing.
It's already
it's
on there.
It's already on there.
But it's like, all right, your dog is yipping, and they didn't care.
Well, especially, but if it's pet friendly, all of those things fall under the friendliness. Like, if you're a dog-friendly place, then they know that the dogs are going to be drinking bowls of water on the ground, that dogs are going to be exchanging hellos and other, you know, conversations with other dogs. Like, I think that's all part of, if you decide to be dog-friendly, you are accepting all of the dog.
I think there's an understanding of the dog you're bringing in here isn't going to be an absolute menace.
No, it's got to be at least well-behaved, and that's on the owner to recognize, you know, whether or not their dog can manage that type of public space. According to this website, Statista, which sounds good because it has the word stat in it, 66% of American households reported that they owned at least one pet. 44% of households have dogs. So most Americans own a pet. A third, 35%, have more than one pet, and 44% have dogs. It's a pretty good number.
It's a pretty good chunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would not be part of that 40.
No, no, no. We know. But although you've been getting closer.
You've thought about it.
You've been inching closer. So let's put you in the hypothetical space of owning that dog that you've been looking at. Or even having Bleep Bird go with you one day. And all of a sudden, you get a little hungry, right? You get a little, get the appetite going. And you're like, let's just pop over to this place. Are you telling me sitting outside with Bleep Bird, you wouldn't enjoy a nice meal or beverage?
Bleep Bird's on my list.
Well, yeah. I mean, his name is Bleep Bird.
Well, too much begging. Begging really bothers me.
You know? Dario would say, Dario, my husband, would say that that's just a dog.
Yeah.
Dogs beg. It's like when our dog jumps up on the table to eat the leftovers, or if my girls run to the bathroom really quick, he jumps up there and eats their food. Dario says, well, that's what dogs do. I disagree. I think you gotta, that's something that should have been coached out of him. Yeah, trained out of him. But since we never took him to a trainer.
Well, I mean, I was about to say, well, I mean, there's only two people you can look at for that responsibility there, Jen.
But he never did this when he was a puppy. So that's the thing. Like, now he's doing it as an older dog. I know that you can't teach an old dog new tricks is sort of a understood mantra. I don't know if it's true or not. Max is 7. At 7 years old, can we teach him not to jump on the table?
I would think so.
I mean, it's going to take a
lot
of work.
Jump on the table?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I thought feeding a dog from the table is really, really bad for the dog. I mean, you guys talk about me giving the birds bread.
I mean, it's
and
not
how bad that is.
It's not necessarily bad for the dog. It's bad for the dog's behavior. Like, health-wise, it's not. I mean, depending upon what you give the dog.
It depends on what you're eating.
Yeah.
My dog eats swan crap. Goose crap.
Oh, a
Cheez-It that falls out of my hand and he eats is hardly of my most concern.
Yeah, it's more of a behavioral thing, too, because you don't want... Because, again, then that rewards the begging.
Yeah.
So, Joshy, are you pro banning it? Are you, like, you're a dog owner.
Yeah.
So, just so you know, we are a dog owner. At one point, we had 2 dogs. We have never taken our dogs out to eat with us. We might, let me just be clear, we might be on a walk with them somewhere, or there's, like, a boardwalk or something, and you can grab ice cream or something like that, and maybe they have a pup cone. You can give them, but we're not like sitting at a restaurant eating with our dogs. And I'm not passing judgment on those who do. I'm simply saying I cannot speak to that experience since we've never done it.
Yeah. So I'm anti cloth napkin. Any place that is traditionally like a quieter atmosphere, like a sit down restaurant where you're going to, you know, not be yelling across. It's not going to have loud music, stuff like that. We take our dog to a lot of breweries. And sometimes there is food there. Now, we're training in the process of training him so he can withstand those situations. The previous dog we owned could not handle those situations. He basically didn't leave the house with us. Like, it's just kind of a case-by-case scenario. Obviously, we have the Americans with Disabilities Act that you have to allow some people who see and eye dogs, other things along those lines. But I'm pro its place and time. Like a brewery or a bar or a patio.
Like, yeah,
dog.
What Gabe said, how they do it in Milwaukee is fine. A certain area, you know.
Yeah, that's
as long
Riley's
as it's not
specific.
Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was your biggest issue with the dogs at lunch?
The yipping.
And the begging. Can you power the rank the issues that you had with the dogs?
Yeah. Look, when my kid had bad acne, I couldn't stand him looking at me when I was eating. Okay, I certainly don't want a dog there staring at me.
Didn't anticipate the kid catching a stray.
I have a very finicky stomach.
Do you really? So you're saying your kid's face upset you, insulted you?
Wait, so would you eat in
you
different shifts?
You were offended by his face?
Doing?
That's kind of mean. I'm sorry, Dylan.
I know.
You didn't even have to tell us which one it was. You could have at least left some mystery there.
All I said was, will you please not look at me?
All you said?
That's the only thing he did, Joshy. I don't know what's wrong with
how much nicer could I have said it?
You said it to the dog or you said it to your kid?
To Dylan.
I'm sure he's not carrying that with him.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, he's definitely not talking
he's
about
going
that.
Out on dates.
Therapy.
Going out on dates. Why won't you look at me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My dad told me I'm not allowed. Ruins his appetite. Jeez Louise. Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. The hotel is ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee. With deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music, you'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Book special hotel packages with room rates starting as low as $129 a month. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. We'll put it on the poll. Chewy had a bad experience this weekend when he was dining and there were dogs in his presence. Do you have an issue with dogs dining with you when you're out? We'll talk to Jason Wilde about that and more. Want to get his take on Jordan Love. He said something very interesting yesterday on Wilde and Tausch about how he would handle Jordan Love's payment coming up. Also, could David Bakhtiari still be getting some money from the Green Bay Packers? We'll talk about that and more right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He has come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
Jason Wilde, an expert in all things, but particularly pet ownership. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're good. Now, we know that you have several dogs. Chewy had a bad experience this weekend where he was dining out, and it was a dog-friendly restaurant on the patio, and he said it affected his ability to enjoy his meal. Do you take your dogs to restaurants with you?
Never. They're not well-behaved enough, and that's not their fault. That's my fault as a trainer.
I was reading an article just now trying to figure out what the legalities are around here. And I think a lot of places say it's not a matter of liking or disliking dogs. But the point is that if you can't ensure the safety and comfort of your guests, then you should not allow dogs. So we're putting it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy poll. Joshy, what was the verbiage of our poll this morning?
I'm still working on it, but it's basically, are you in favor of dogs being in restaurants? Are you in
but
favor?
Outside, right?
Yes.
Nobody here is arguing that dogs should be inside restaurants. It's more of like a patio option.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that, Jason? Not your dog specifically.
I love dogs, so I'm fine. But I don't go out to eat enough to really have that affect me. I would say this. I'm not worried about my dogs endangering other diners. I'm worried about Sadie jumping up in their lap and kissing them in the face and then stealing their food. And I'm worried about Stella barking incessantly at them until they give her attention. So that would ruin Chewy's enjoyment, I'm sure. So I will not be. I'll just bring them over to Chewy's house and they can spend some quality time with them there.
House is fine, but Jason, the issue was the dogs wouldn't stop barking and the owners could care less. They must have been from New York.
They must have been from New York. Listen to you, small town Chewy. They must be from the big city.
Jason, is the reason the Packers are quiet now, even with cap space, because I read an article on how David Bakhtiari, if he decides to retire and files an injury grievance against the Packers, some of that money is then going to be added on to the cap. Is that why they're kind of quiet right now? Because they're kind of guarding themselves against that?
I don't think that A is causing B, but I do think, and again, I don't know what David's plans are. He did not talk about it on our show specifically. I think he still wants to play. I don't know how realistic it is. He mentioned when he talked to us that he FaceTimed with Tausch at one point and Josh Sitton and a few other former linemen that had gone on a trip together, and that the scar on his knee is quite large. And this he wouldn't get into too many specifics, but I asked him, you know, does it rhyme with cartilage regeneration about what kind of surgery it was? And he basically acknowledged that it was a form of that, but it was perhaps more extensive than that. And so I think there's a good chance that he's not able to play, frankly. And so when you're released and you're not able to pass a physical, which he's not capable of doing right now, I think, and again, I don't know the NFLPA CBA cover to cover, but I think he, if he at least claims to have a desire to keep playing and is unable to, I think that he may have grounds for being able to recoup some of his 2024 salary. Now, the issue here with him is that the original injury did not occur during the 2023 season. And if you read the NFLPA website, it does indicate that. But he can argue, hey, I know the catastrophic injury that started this whole avalanche of problems happened on December 31st, 2020, but I played in the opener and by all accounts played really well, and then I couldn't play anymore. So I would assume he would argue that the aggravation of that knee occurred during that Bears game, and that would make him eligible. Now, I don't know what kind of terms they parted on. I don't know what his plans are, but if he wants some extra money and is not able to, say, go play for the Jets, just physically unable to continue his career no matter how much he wants to, because he said he had other things he still wanted to accomplish. He wants to get another All-Pro. I don't know if he thinks he's already a Pro Football Hall of Famer or he needs to add to his resume. I know he's talked in the past about that being important to him. So he's in kind of a difficult spot. But if he's never able to play again, and that becomes pretty obvious that he won't be able to play this season for any team, then I would think he would pursue that to recoup some extra money.
Jason, I just want to make sure I have something correct here, all right?
Hi, Keith.
What's going on, bud? I do believe...
I owe your dad money, by the way. I got to get back to him. I just realized that. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to send the goons after you soon if you,
you
don't pay
like
that.
Make stream of consciousness.
Out of
you act like stream of consciousness is not allowed on this show. That's all we do is stream of consciousness, Jason, so welcome.
You're influencing me.
Jason, on your show yesterday, did you say that if Jordan Love wants $52 million or more per season, that you would just franchise tag him?
I guess I did. Like, I don't... Here's my problem with this topic, and I don't know if Tausch fully appreciates why I don't like this topic, because if you're not willing to give him whatever he wants, then somehow it becomes you hate Jordan Love and you hate the Packers, at least in the realm of Packers Twitter and whatever else. I am just trying to be, you know, and then he's snarky about it, and you know, somebody tweeted in, hey, maybe they should just get him on that same deal they signed A.J. Dillon to. Party, har, har. I'm just, so like, Joe Burrow, I think, is at 55?
Yes.
Million average. Justin Herbert, who has a longer tenure, of even though he played on a crappy team and lost the only playoff game he started and whatever else. I think Justin Herbert has shown more than Jordan has to this point over a longer period of time. I think he's 52 and a half. And then I think Lamar Jackson is averages 52, if I'm not mistaken, who now has won two NFL MVPs. And so my point is that I would like to see more before I cross the $50 million threshold with him. And that doesn't mean that I don't think he's going to show me more, but lots of stuff can happen. I mean, David Bakhtiari, who we just got done talking about, I know he's not a quarterback, but he signed a contract in November of 2020. He blew out his knee during a practice, which he hinted during his appearance. He didn't think they should have been in pads on New Year's Eve. And then he's never been the same. He's played, what, 13 games since he suffered his injury? I'm not saying that Jordan's going to suffer a major injury. I'm saying I don't want to pay him an exorbitant sum until I have a little more evidence that he's as awesome as we think he is, because we all agree we think he's going to be a damn good player, and B, until I'm at a point where, okay, I need to do this to make sure that I don't create this antagonistic relationship with his hard-charging agent, and suddenly we find ourselves with our franchise quarterback wanting to be traded because we're talking about using the franchise tag on him. I don't like the topic, because when you put, oh, well, you got to pay him this, And if you push back on that, then you're some sort of anti-love guy. And, I mean, I've only said how much I like Jordan about 1,000 times on our show. And I thought David Bakhtiari had a great line when we talked to him on Friday about how he's basically impossible to root for, right? And that's coming from a guy whose best friend was traded, and he was pissed because now he was stuck with the inexperienced quarterback and has never won a Super Bowl because he came along in 2013. So for him to give that kind of a endorsement of love tells everyone what they need to know about how likable and how everybody's rooting for him. I'd like to see him succeed. I like him, as I've said a million times. But I'm not ready to give him $52 million, and if that makes me a bad guy, so be it.
Jason Wilde hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, as he does three times a week. So yesterday there was news of Valentine getting a deal, which feels like it gives the team flexibility as well. There was also the news that Yash Nyman signed yesterday, and there were people who were pointing at he signed with the Carolina Panthers, not the Green Bay Packers. But there were people who were pointing to the amount of money that he got with the Carolina Panthers that said that, wow, he must have really fallen out of favor with the Packers for them not to give him that type of deal. And then that leads people to wonder if the Packers would, for the first time since, I think, 2011, 2010, when they went back-to-back with Sherrod and Bulaga, take an offensive lineman in the first round of the NFL draft. Are you leaning more that direction after what happened with Valentine yesterday? Maybe them maybe solidifying that the defensive backs and needing help still on the offensive line.
Well, I think Yash Nyman definitely fell out of favor in Green Bay. Stenovich, who was a line coach, was an offensive lineman himself, and got called on the carpet by Matt LaFleur, from what I understand, for saying this. He basically, during the season, when he was asked about why they were sharing time at left tackle, it was basically that Yash, despite having started 21 games, didn't rise to the challenge. Some guys rise to the challenge and some guys don't, is what Steno said. For whatever reason, I talk about this all the time, Bulaga, Tausch, and I all like Yash Nyman more than the Packers did. So I thought that his contract, he got $5 million guaranteed, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They see, the Carolina Panthers see him at minimum as their swing tackle and maybe as an inexpensive starter for them. I mean, they obviously have all kinds of needs and are in full-blown rebuilding mode. But they clearly need a depth charge on their offensive line. Now, there are some projections that have as many as 8 offensive linemen going in the first 32 picks. So, yeah, I can totally see the Packers drafting a tackle. They love to draft tackles and then move them around. But they have now lost 3 offensive linemen who had significant starting experience for them in Bakhtiari, John Runyon, and Yash Nyman. And no matter how they feel about Yash Nyman, Yash Nyman was there as their third tackle to go in if something happened to Zach Tom or to Rashid Walker down the stretch of the season. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I would also say this. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they go defensive tackle, even though they drafted Devontae Wyatt 2 years ago. Kenny Clark's in the last year of his deal. T.J. Slayton's in the last year of his deal. Kenny Clark's been around for a really long time. He's still only 28 years old, but he's getting close to 30, and we don't want anybody close to 30 on our roster anymore, from what I can tell.
Jason, we appreciate
are they rolling the dice, though, Jason? Sorry, Jen, but are they rolling the dice? I mean, at linebacker, they're lacking depth, but you can fudge your way through that with linebackers. Offensive line, you can't. You get an injury, and then you lost 3 players to depth, and Sherrod was a train wreck. He wasn't any good. I mean, having not enough offensive linemen to play through a season, that can devastate. So are they kind of rolling the dice?
Yeah, I mean, that's why they have to probably do some stuff, right, Chu? I mean, because the other thing is, and I don't mean to be mean when I say this, but do you really want Royce Newman playing?
I don't think
he's
they do.
On your roster, really? Right? I mean, he's one of those guys that seems to kind of have 9 lives in terms of sticking around and making the roster, but I don't, I think they're hoping that Luke Tenuta, who they kept around all year after he had that major ankle injury, I think they think that he's got some potential to be a decent swing tackle for them. I think that's how he's kind of viewed. I know that's a name that there's Packers fans listening going, Judy Tenuta, the old comic from the 80s? So I get it. Like, there's some guys that they would need to ride, but they have to. They've got 11 picks. I'm not saying they're going to use their first-round pick on a offensive lineman. I certainly wouldn't be surprised at all if they did, although I guess they really only draft defensive players in the first round from what I can tell. But I would think there's got to be two, maybe even three offensive linemen that they pick during the course of those 11 picks if they use them all.
It's getting to be about that time. We will certainly be seeing more and more mock drafts rolling out on social media and on the .coms out there. Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a good one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
It's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after our show, Gabe.
Want to see Giannis up close and live? How about Giannis and Thanasis Adetokounmpo sitting down for an intimate conversation? Thanasis Live is coming up on Friday. Get your tickets now to see Thanasis Live at Potawatomi Casino Hotel, where Thanasis is joined by his brother, none other than the Greek Freak. They'll talk hoops, life, and more, and will even be joined by several other special guests. TALiveShow.com is where you get tickets. That's TALiveShow.com. Join Thanasis and Giannis Friday night for Thanalysis Live.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But remember he said his birthday?
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little freaky.
Yeah. Like and everyone's like, oh, look at our horny little boy. We're so good for him. Like, everybody's so supportive of Giannis, they just kind of look past it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Attention to all golfers in the greater Milwaukee area. Here is an exciting opportunity that you don't want to miss out on. Introducing the Milwaukee Golf Tour. It's a premier season-long competitive golf experience. Milwaukee Golf Tour, not just another golf league. It's a game changer that offers unparalleled flexibility and excitement for golfers of all skill level. They've got a full schedule, and then what it means is you have a two-week window to try to complete each event, so you can play on your time. The tour schedule follows the footsteps of the PGA Tour, including a thrilling FedEx Cup-style point system, four majors, and an epic tour championship. If you're ready to elevate your golf experience, sign up now at mkegolftour.com. That's mkegolftour.com. And use our code ESPN to save $50 on your 2024 membership. Registration ends on April 8th, so don't miss your chance to be part of the fastest-growing golf tour in Milwaukee. MKEGolfTour.com. Save $50 on the membership with code ESPN.
Hollywood in the Sunset Strip. If you missed any of our conversation with Jason Wilde, you can always find it on Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcasts. And Jason yesterday on his show said something that prompted us to talk about it today on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Let's take a listen to what Jason said yesterday about Jordan Love and the decision that the Packers brass has whether or not to give him the big fat deal, maybe upwards of $50 million a year, or go a different route.
You're Brian Gutekunst. Are you offering him a five-year, $52 million a year contract?
I'm not.
You're going to let him play it out?
No, I'm going to try to get him for less.
Okay.
46.
Jordan Love comes to you and says, hey, I want to be here for the next 5 years, and I know the market's going to go up, but I need $52.5 million a year, and I need 75% of it guaranteed, and we have a deal. I'm not going to take a nickel less. If you don't, we'll play it out, and you can franchise me. Which way are you going?
I'm franchising him.
Okay.
So, Chewy, historically, and maybe it's changed, but just traditionally, covering the NFL as long as we have, players don't love the franchise tag.
No.
So, are you worried at all about, you know, ticking off Jordan Love if he decides to put the franchise tag up? Even if, as you and I and Gabe and Josh, you talk about all the time, sometimes it's just business. It's not personal. It's business. What would you do in this situation?
I would do the same thing that Jason's saying. I mean, I think I said it a couple months ago. I just have a problem with a guy who played very well the last half of the season, got them deep into the playoffs, and giving him, I understand the market is what it is, but it's when you look at it, it's not pressing right now. You still have the franchise tag, which is kind of break glass in case of emergency. But like he said, you need to see more. And we don't think that this is going to be a Carson Wentz situation or a Jared Goff where the next year after they got paid, they didn't live up to the contract. But it's just, I'm very reluctant to give the guy top three salary for quarterbacks in the NFL just after half of a season.
Yeah, but I mean,
46 might be light. 46 might be light, but 48-ish, you know, you're talking a lot of money. A lot of money, yeah, Gabe.
Yeah, but it's the market. Yeah, again, it's what the market dictates.
And yeah, but you don't have to do it right now. That's the thing. The market dictates it, but you don't have to do it.
Yeah, I mean, when franchise quarterbacks have 1 year left on a deal, that's when you start doing the deal because you don't want to run the risk. Because, again, that's what they did, and that's what pissed off Davante Adams. Like, they decided not to re-up him. He's like, all right, I'll play this year out, and the Packers franchised him, and he was clearly unhappy. Whenever you end up going the franchise tag route, you just mentioned it, Jen. Players hate it. How often does that work out for a team when you end up going the franchise tag route?
Did they franchise Dak in Dallas? Did they put the tag on him at least 1 year?
I think they threatened it.
Yeah, and I think they ended up working out a long-term deal. But if somebody ends up playing on the franchise tag, I feel it's not going to end up well for the organization.
Yeah, but Gabe, that's still a year away. They don't have to do it this year. You're talking about the following year. And money cures all problems, you know? So he starts off. Let's say he lights the world on fire first six games. Okay, seen enough. Give him 51.
Well, no, but I mean, so again, you're going on the cheap. To me, if you want to do this where he's not the top paid quarterback, you got to do it now, and you got to do it for 52. If you let him play this out, what's to prevent him going, no, I'm okay, now you waited, I proved it, now you got to pay me top dollar, because guess what? If Jordan Love were to hit the open market, we just saw it with Xavier McKinney, where McKinney ended up getting probably a couple million more than what we thought per year because there was a bidding war. If somebody like Jordan Love hits the open market...
Absolutely, there's way too many teams who are quarterback starved right now.
But then you have 2 years to franchise him, and there's no way he's going to play under a franchise tag for 2 years. He's going to say, okay, I get it. I waited. I played well, and then you gave it to
me. That's what Kirk Cousins
did, man. I guarantee if you asked Jordan right now, if you didn't ask his agent, if you just asked him in a room that wouldn't get out, and you say, do you deserve $52 million, he'd probably say no.
But if they want to do the deal now, that's what the market dictates, and therefore taking anything less than that is doing a disservice. And it's also because it affects your trajectory. You know, you have to pick a point on that line going up that will lead to the next paycheck being what it should be according to the market. So I don't think Jordan Love's the type of guy who's going to go kicking and screaming, stomping his way into, you know, Goody's office, demanding a certain number. I have to be up over Joe Burrow, which, by the way, for comparison's sake, Rodgers did do that, right? We heard the report from Diana Rossini last year where he was demanding a certain number. Whether or not he agreed with it being out there or not is another story. But Chef Ed is weighing in on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line saying, Love strikes me as the type of guy not to be super demanding. I don't think you can take that into consideration. And I actually think it's part of what got the Packers in trouble with Aaron Jones. It's part of what, you know, you think the guy wants to come back. He has said he wants to be a Packer for life. You start putting those chips on your side of the scale, thinking that it's going to help in negotiations. And I think you could find yourself surprised when somebody then says, no, you went too low with the offer. Now I'm taking my talents elsewhere.
Yeah, but look what they did with Jacobs and McKinney. They listened to Matt Damon.
Who?
Matt Damon said, don't forget the cardinal rule. Always leave yourself out. There's no out in a quarterback contract. There's no out.
Wait, who are you talking
There's
about?
There's no cut him after 1 year.
What are you talking about with Matt Damon?
Moneyball?
From the movie Rounders. Well, when he went up against KGB, he said, I forgot cardinal flipping rule. Okay, always fair. Leave yourself
fair,
out.
But then the other guy said, pay that man his money. So which Rounders quote are we going with here, buddy?
No, but I'm saying you think Goody is going to pivot where, you know, he has outs with Jacobs. He has outs with McKinney. You don't think he's going to have an out with Love, or he's just going to say, hey, back up the truck, $220 million guaranteed, here you go. I don't know, because he drafted the guy, and typically GMs that draft their guys that play well, they give them whatever they want.
Every NFL contract has outs except for Deshaun Watson's. Like, that's why you don't guarantee the full deal, right? Like, because then that gives you the full outs. And I don't think, I mean, the league, across the league, they'd be pissed at the Packers if they fully guaranteed Jordan Love a deal. Because
no, not fully guaranteed, Gabe, but if they're giving him $260 million over 5 years, how much of that would be guaranteed?
And I'm fairly certain that Deshaun Watson's agent is David Mulgaletta, who is also Jordan Love's agent, for whatever that's worth. For whatever that's worth.
I mean, yeah. The league wasn't going to give fully guaranteed money to a former NFL MVP who then won the MVP this year. Jordan Love's not getting a fully guaranteed contract. No, the Browns did that out of desperation. My guess is if they gave him 260, my guess is around 200, maybe 190 if it's guaranteed.
Yeah, it's a big nut.
Yeah, I mean, salary cap's 250, 260.
Do you consider at all, Chewy, the fact that he played ball this last year? You may argue he didn't have a choice. He didn't have anything to show for, you know, what he was hoping he would get or what he was hoping he would be worth eventually. But he played ball this year. To go back to the Aaron Jones thing, and I know the positions are different. Aaron Jones is not Jordan Love. Running backs are not quarterbacks. But you ask a guy to do a thing that is team-friendly, that helps the team one time around, isn't there an expectation that maybe that was your one time, that was your mulligan? I don't think you can keep going back to that well.
Well, what's your guy's sample size? Is what he done enough?
Is it enough? No, but it's what you got.
Yeah, but there's no rush, Jen. You don't have to do anything. You have a whole nother year before you have to franchise tag him. He is under contract for this year.
But remember,
so this, hold on. So this negotiation, even though you don't want it to, can go into the season.
But they're already on the record of saying they're having serious conversations with Jordan Love's agent about an extension now.
Yes. But Chewy, again, to go back to it, this is what they did with Davante Adams, and they ticked Davante Adams off to the point where he's like, I don't want to be here. You don't believe in me.
Yeah, but they traded him. They're not trading Jordan Love. If Jordan Love came to him and said, I want to be traded, they'd be like, yeah, go pound sand. Ain't happening.
But is there any chance, Chu, and you have employed this or had said that guys should employ this, that Jordan Love could hold out or hold in, I suppose, is the way they're articulating in 2024? But
if they franchise him and he never signs the tender, like, he doesn't have to show up and doesn't have to worry about the fines.
And again, that's not a good look either. I don't think that he wants to go that route. But again, if it's business, I'm saying, could he not take the field without an extension?
Saying is this, for me, sample size isn't big enough. That's it. Might be big enough for you. It's just not big enough for me.
Look,
I need more.
Would I be comfortable with a bigger sample size? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I don't want to run the risk of ticking this guy off. I want to learn lessons from the Davante Adams situation, and I want to make sure we have a good... And also, like, I don't want to start with some sort of adversarial relationship if I just got out of an adversarial relationship with Aaron Rodgers. Hey, let's get on the same page here. Let's have everybody going, you know... I mean, ultimately, what are we talking about? $6 million per year? Like, who cares, man?
And I also think we can never forget the fact that Brian Gutekunst moved up to draft Jordan Love. He is his guy. The term is not confirmation bias. I can never really think of what exactly it is, but it's in that vein. It's in that room, confirmation bias, where he's going to do whatever he can to show or help or assist him in being the guy that he thought he was when he went up and got him and hacked off the quarterback who was there. I also want to know, Chu, and we got to take a break here shortly on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but I also want to know, is there anything Jordan Love could have done in 2023, 2024, in that small sample size where you would have said, yes, pay him? Is it October that is keeping you hesitating if he had played better in that stretch?
Yeah, probably. I just want to see more games. But the thing for me is, like, there's no rush. What's the rush? He's under contract. So, and look, I think this is how this thing works out. I think he gets 50. They agree. They're both fair. 5 year, $50 million average, and we move on. It's not going to be 46. But my thing is, there's no rush. He's under contract. So hash it out now. It goes into training camp, and if it goes into the season, fine. We get more looks at him. I am just guarding against Carson Wentz. That's it.
But couldn't you make the argument that there was a very small window of games for Aaron Rodgers before they gave him that extension?
Well, but they didn't give him the big extension, right? Like, he got a good chunk of money, but they got him on the cheap after those six games. And they took the gamble, they took the risk. With Jordan, obviously they couldn't do that because of the way they ended up doing the contract this year.
Chu, you're concerned about regression. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Which I think people should be.
Josh, what did you put on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll for our Jordan Love conversation this morning?
It's a bit verbose, but I channeled the classic 99, 1997 film Rounders.
Classic.
Which quote from the classic 1997 film Rounders would you use to describe how the Packers should handle Jordan Love's contract extension? Quote, pay that man his money, or always leave yourself without.
And the always leave yourself without is essentially the franchise option that Jason talked about this morning with us and yesterday on Wilde and Tausch. The idea that you have that franchise tag that you can put on the quarterbacks. This year it's $36 million, which is not even close to $50 million or $52 million or whatever top of the market at the quarterback position would be. But those are the options. Go ahead and weigh in on that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. We'll take a break. Be right back after this. Let me tell you guys about a big thing that is happening here at ESPN Wisconsin. It is Bracket Challenge. ESPN Wisconsin's Bracket Challenge is back, presented by Cousin Subs. Fill out a bracket, earn the most points at the end of the tournament, and you will get this, a $1,000 gift card to Cousin Subs. You know what you can do with $1,000 worth of coin at Cousin Subs? Well, you can treat all your pals, that's for sure. You can invite everybody over and have a little sports party, whatever your sport of choice is. In this case, you got to go to ESPN Wisconsin's Tournament Challenge app or the ESPN.com, and you can enter the password Cousins, all lowercase. It's the ESPN Wisconsin Bracket Challenge presented by Cousin Subs. They believe in better. Visit ESPNWisconsinContest.com for full rules and details. What are you waiting for? Get your bracket filled out. Use that code word Cousins, all lowercase, to get entered into the ESPN Wisconsin Bracket Challenge.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it. But it's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your pitch.
But hold on.
If you're like, guys, good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Best place to shop diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee, of course. It's only at the Jewelry Center. Team of specialists can help you bring her dream ring to life. They definitely did for me. I kind of had an idea, went in, looked at a couple of different rings. I personally went to the Greenfield location. You can go to Brookfield, Burlington. Maybe you don't have an idea of what that dream ring that you want to give her when that time hits, what looks like. Well, go to her Pinterest board. If she's got some things posted there, you bring those ideas into the Jewelry Center, and their helpful team of specialists are always going to point you in the right direction. Maybe you're not even looking for that. Maybe you're just looking to gift stud earrings. Well, again, diamond, place to go, Jewelry Center. Jewelry Center, of course, has options 2, 3, 4 carat total weight diamonds, lab-grown, naturally mined. Learn more about the diamond jewelry selection at shoptjc.com or stop in at the Jewelry Center in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Hughes Day as we honor the brilliance of Huey Lewis in the news. So Mel Kiper's most recent mock draft is out. At 25, he does have the Green Bay Packers taking an offensive player. Oh, nope, outside linebacker. Sorry, I saw OL and then I continued scrolling. I thought it was an offensive lineman. It is, in fact, an outside linebacker. No, it's not. It's an offensive lineman.
Hello.
Are you trying
no,
to be
it's not.
Naive?
It's an no, offensive. Thank you.
It's a pass rusher.
You know why?
It is an edge.
Because the very first paragraph talks about David Bakhtiari, and we were talking about offensive linemen a few minutes ago and how David Bakhtiari. What does the first line of his thing say, Gabe?
Green Bay is another team that might seek one of these offensive tackles, but I wonder if this is a landing spot for one of the best pure edge rushers in the class.
Thank you. That's where my confusion came from. I'm reading it very quickly.
Because you didn't read the back half of the sentence?
I didn't read the whole thing. I only read the first part, thought he wouldn't lead me astray. Damn you, Mel Kiper. Yes, he is saying Latu, right? Latu? The kid from UCLA. So he is saying to take a defensive player with the draft. Although we were talking earlier about offensive linemen maybe being the way that they would go, and I want to get to that conversation, but I also want to get to continuing our Jordan Love conversation about whether or not you would pay that man his money or you would leave yourself out by going the franchise route. Turns out the Packers will not be the team playing in Brazil this year. We'll get to that story. And air mattresses. Yay or nay? All that right after this.